He said that.
Yes. Not only is he our Messiah, he's also our Redeemer. And redeemed time, Sid, looks very different than unredeemed time. Biblically, what that looks like when it says after the time had passed, because in unredeemed time, everything is passing away. But if it is redeemed time, we are gaining everything. So it's very important that we understand that once Jesus steps into our timeline, he can actually change it. We rescue children all over the world, and we've been doing that now for 30 years. And we had rescued a little girl down in the Amazon out of trafficking, and she was nonverbal. I walked straight up to them and I said, friends, I had a dream in the future that was about my past, but it's my right now, and we're not gonna miss this miracle. And they said, well, here she is. I walked over to her, and then I said, Franciela, it's okay for you to start talking now. And she looked at me and she said, in Portuguese, do you see that little boy right over there? He doesn't even know how to talk. He doesn't even know how to walk across the street. I have to help him.
Well, my goodness, guys, breaking in on a little bit of Sid Roth for you right there. Hi, friends. This is Pastor Troy Brewer. And I am here on The Pulse today with a whole bunch of other people, and I got some special guests, a very special guest. I'm talking about special guests today. But first of all, I want to tell you guys, welcome to episode number 38. Now, The Pulse is all about having a prophetic ear on the heart of King Jesus himself, and today, that's exactly what we're going to do. Guys, big things are happening, and Jesus is on the move right here in Texas, all the way to the ends of the earth. And in this episode, we're talking about the power of yes. Yes. Guys, we're going to be talking all about the power of yes, and there's one little word, man, that can change absolutely everything, and I have some experts on the power of yes here with me today. And then also, Leanna and I and Pastor Darryl are going to share the missions, on what missions really look like, what it looks like for us as a family, what it looks like for us as three people who live life together. Guys, I want to welcome you here to today's broadcast. Joining me directly across, right here, is Miss Wilbur. How are you doing, Lady
I'm Bug? Good. Thanks for letting me come to your family reunion today.
Yeah, that is going to be a family reunion.
I'm excited for the show. I can't wait to hear just more about how you guys do this thing, because it's very unique what you do, but also who you do it with. It. This is a family thing, and it's really cool how God uses each and every one of you to make this happen in your own way, and I'm excited for today. It's going to be good.
Well, we all had no idea that, you know, as family, that this would be what our life mission was about. We thought our life mission would be about trying to survive the family.
Well, you've done that well. You have done that well.
It turns out that that really was no big deal at all, man, that the big deal is how God Almighty uses us as a family. And that's what he puts family together for, is to show the Father's heart.
Yeah.
And that family is God's idea. So it's going to be a great broadcast today. I know that there's people joining us
yes.
all over the world. Who's here?
Man, we have people from all over tuning in. And hey, guys, don't forget to put in the comments where you're watching from, because we love seeing how people are coming together from literally across the globe to be a part of our Pulse family. I want to say a shout out to Kathy in Georgia, Susie Miller in South Carolina, Rachel Backstrom in Tennessee. We've got Monica Bradley in Flagstaff, Arizona, Ivy in Garland, Texas, Daryl McCray in South Carolina, Julie in California. And I know we have some internationals on here as well. So guys, let us know where you are watching. And hey, you really never know. You could be thinking you're watching from some corner in the world that we will never visit. And let me tell you, we visit many corners of the earth here. So you might just hear a story about where you live today and the work that we do there. So welcome.
Guys, I'd like to ask everybody to please not only comment your location, but also too, like this, share this. Guys, today we passed up 170,000 subscribers on the YouTube. There's the plaque right back there. Woo-hoo, there it is. I thought about building a house around that, but instead I just hung it up here behind me, and I'm very happy about that. But if you'll smash the button, if you'll do the things, become a media missionary and share this. If you're watching on Facebook, and for all my friends that are watching on ODX.TV, if you are stage or if you are stage three, you know what? You'll be able to just stay with us once we go behind the veil and we share some secret information just for our special family at ODX stage two and stage three. And by the way, last night I had a special 2-hour get together with just my stage three people. I invited you to Redemption Ranch. I had my friends from South Africa asking me question about The blood war, Genesis 1. The difference between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, is it the same story or is it two different stories? Genesis 3, the seed war. We went from Genesis 3 into Genesis 6, where the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And then from there, we went into 9, which is the generations of Noah are perfect. And then from there, we went into the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10. Then we pushed it 77 generations later to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he busted into hell and he did not enter into hell as a human being. He died as a human being and then he entered into hell as God Almighty and what that was like for those jokers. And then how he rose again from the dead, set the captives in free. He set the captives in hell free. And who were those people? They were people who had faith who had never known Jesus. How does that even work?
Wow.
How in the world can you have a group full of people that are in this holding tank in hell that's called Abraham's lap or Abraham's bosom or the promise that God gave Abraham? How could you be people of faith and having never met Jesus? And then from there, he rose from the dead. He sent those guys to Texas. He made a little bus stop in Jerusalem. And while he was there to tell Mary, go get the disciples and gather them together, you know what he did? Those jokers, those resurrected human beings walked around and said, hey, I got to come by and say, I've always wanted to see my great-great-great-grandson in the flesh. How you doing? I'm your 4G grandpappy. And then they left, and then they went to heaven. Then he came back with the power of the Holy Ghost. He came back. He breathed upon his disciples the way that God Almighty breathed upon Adam in Genesis chapter 2. The breath of life didn't go into the humanity in chapter 1, the breath of life went into Adam in chapter 2. It's a whole different story. And then from there, he said, now, you're not going to stay here. You're going to go to all the world. You're going to go into all the devil's territory, and you're going to preach this gospel, and you're going to go get the devil's territory. Well, we went through all that in about 2.5 hours last night, and it was a humdinger. Miss Shea Wilson.
Well, you just went through it in about 3 minutes, and I could tell, I could easily see how that would go much longer because there was so much there. I was just,
well, if yeah, you're not trying to if, keep you, up. If you're not a Stage 3 member, man, you missed it, but it's not too late. You can call the number. Call 877-413-0888. And if you sign up to partner with us at Troy Brewer Ministries, you get access to all these kinds of things and a couple of other 1,000 videos as well. So join ODX Stage 2, Stage 3, partner and help us save more kids, yeah, including if I could bring this to you. I'll tell you what, before I bring this to you, Let me introduce my guests,
yeah,
and let me talk to them because I'm going to get them in on this this new project we have and this girl that we're about to rescue today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to help me rescue a human being literally out of slavery. Yeah. Well, somebody who knows a whole lot about that is a lady that I have known since 1986, and we've been married since 1989. She's the love of my life. She's the mother of my children. She's the co-pastor of my church, and she's a bad motor scooter. Leanna Brewer is here.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing, man?
I'm good.
Did you miss me?
I did.
I hadn't been home since Saturday.
I know.
I left on Saturday, came here and did the graduation, stayed here. We did church on Sunday, then I went out to Redemption Ranch, and I just got back from Redemption Ranch about 45 minutes ago.
I know.
You better have missed me.
I did miss you.
Okay.
I did.
Thank you. Thank you for missing me. I love you. Okay, so we're going to be talking about all kinds of crazy stuff that we're doing all over the world, mm-hmm, and then we're going to give people the inside scoop of what it's like on this side of things, right? And then we also brought another special guest here with us today.
We did.
Okay, so this guy is Leanna's brother. This guy is my brother-in-law. I have been friends with him since 1986, although I wouldn't say we were friends in 86. He was not very impressed that I was after his sister. Too bad.
Wait, I want to know more about
who
that.
Won that? Who won that argument? Right on. But with that said, he's one of my greatest partners. He's one of my most loyal pastors in this church. He's one of my closest friends. He's my brother-in-law. And he is the greatest rescuer out of all the rescuers we have all over the planet Earth. He's responsible for rescuing and helping more people than anybody I know anywhere. Pastor Gerald Knight.
Thank you.
That's real.
You. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, it's good to be here.
It's good. I'm so happy to have y'all here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You just now got back from Korea.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. You're about to go to Belize next week.
Right.
We'll talk a little bit about that and all the work that we're doing in Belize. But let's you and I go back to Uganda because Uganda really has our heart.
Yes, it does.
Well, what was the year, the first year you went to Uganda?
2008.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I was thinking about yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I figured you were going to ask me that. But going back and doing, you know, a lot has happened. But I think it was 2008. It was the first time I went there. Leanna and Mindy had already been there, and you had already been there. But that's when I showed up.
Oh yeah, we've been going for a while by 2008, but it doesn't seem like it because everything changed. If I can be very honest, everything changed mm-hmm. once we took you with us.
Right.
And then once you and your bride, you know, jumped on board and you guys made this your cause as well. And I mean, everything changed for us.
But definitely changed for me too. So, you know, 2008, it does seem a lot longer than that when I was thinking about it. I mean, I know that's only 17 years, but that's just a testament to how much stuff we've done.
Including you have dug over 1,000 water wells.
Right.
Yeah.
The first one was there.
The whole water well thing is your thing. You're the one that heads all that up. And I think you just dug your 1,001st water well.
Yes. But, you know, it's been a team, obviously. It's been a team of partnering and, of course, people here. So it's definitely my passion. And before I went to Africa, you know, I had no grid for that. I didn't, you know, plan on doing water even when I was there. And I had water, so what was the big deal? But you know, God definitely changed my heart. And I think I'll finish the rest of my life, you know, trying to get as many water wells done around the world now.
You can't build too many water wells.
No, you can't build too many.
You can't give people too much access to clean water. Leanna, you and I, you know, we've seen how Daryl has transformed the world everywhere he goes.
Yes.
And he works with us, and he's an amazing partner. And one of the greatest works that we've ever done in our whole life is in Kinkole Village.
Yes. And
so you bought the original 20 acres there when you were on a mission trip by yourself there.
Right.
And now it is this, it's really hard to explain what it is.
It is hard to explain. And I love what Shay said earlier. It really is a family thing because Daryl works for me, but he also works for you. And we all three work together.
Yep. Sometimes we work for him.
Yeah, sometimes we do. He tells us what to do, please. I was wondering the other day what year it was we built our first water, or dug our first water well. But yeah, we had bought the land in Uganda on a trip a couple of years before Daryl went. Mindy was with me. It was just a few of us girls that went. And the Lord just gave us the opportunity. We had stopped just underneath a tree just to minister to people. And then a lady got healed. And then we were offered, you know, 5 acres of land for $3,000. And we were going to jump on it. And then the guy came back and said, well, I'll sell you 20 acres for $5,000. I was like, that's really bad math, but we're going to go ahead and do it while we're here. And now we have hundreds of acres there. And that's just our very first one.
But tell you what, guys, let's go ahead and let's show everybody a graphic of where all we have water wells at all over the planet Earth. You guys check this out. So, yeah, so we have it in India. We have them in Uganda, Kenya, Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Malawi, of course, USA, we built water wells here. Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, Haiti, Belize, Cambodia. Did I leave anybody out?
Nope. 14 different countries.
Gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
But there's going to be so many more. But even saying 14 is still very daunting. It's a big number. Yeah.
I think it's a big number.
Because several of those countries have several water wells.
Yeah,
they do. Well, I want to show everybody that's listening. I want to show you guys something. There is a girl that we're about to rescue that is in another village, and we're about to build this whole redemption. We're actually calling it Redemption Village.
That is so cool.
It is the same layout, the same, all those things that we have from the model that we have already set up from our other villages, which means it has rainwater, it has a school, it has a medical clinic, it has a church, it has housing for the teachers and housing for the people. And it is a gigantic village, and up until not very long ago, we could build the entire thing for $400,000,
right?
Which is crazy.
Right.
Okay, well, the price has gone up, and it's about $500,000 now, but still, you can't even hardly build a house in the United States for $500,000. We're talking about something that takes care of untold thousands of people and is nicer than the campus of Open Door Church right here where we're at.
Yeah.
It's not way nicer than our campus.
Right.
Am I making that up?
Nope, you're not.
No, man, whenever we take people, we have a nice campus here.
We have a very nice campus.
Praise God. I mean, it's beautiful. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing compared to the campuses we have in Uganda.
It really doesn't compare to most of the things in Uganda, you know, most villages, most schools, compounds. So, yeah, it may be, you know, nicer than here, but it's also nicer than most things that we come across.
Guys, there is a there is, whenever we find special rescues there, we build them a house, and we build them a house. I'm about to show you the house that we build for them, and then we put them in, and that's their forever home. And mind you, the people that we move into these houses, they've never had a house. They never had a real roof. They've never had a, you know, something besides mud walls. They've never had anything other than dirt floors. And these houses, well, I'll tell you what, I want to show you one. Here's one right here. This is the houses we built. Those are them. And so right there, where you see the front door on the left, to the right, those doors open up. And those doors actually become a business. So if they want to cut hair, then they cut hair right there. If they want to put a store in there and they want to put bread and candy and stuff and they want to have a different kind of income stream, they can do that. I don't know what else people have done with those places. I've seen hair.
The sewing.
Yeah, they do sewing.
And we set them up with it. So we train them. We set them up. We give them all the supplies and we give them the training on how to run a business as well. So they're not expected to just figure it out themselves because these people come from a village that most of them live under trees. They don't even live in mud huts. And this is one of our smaller houses that we started building because it's more affordable for all of these people that we're coming across.
And so how much does something like that cost, Pastor?
It costs $25,000.
Okay. Wow.
It's $25,000 and it's another $6,000 to furnish it. And then it's an additional between $5,000 and $10,000 to set them up for their business. Mm-hmm. But I want to can you imagine? Yeah. So let me share this. Here's a girl I want y'all to help me rescue today. I want to send the check today to rescue this girl. This girl right here is a teenage girl.
Look at those babies.
She has lived on the ground her whole life. She has been a slave of a guy that owns her, and her job is to watch this banana grove. So she and her babies live on the ground in this banana grove, and she's never had anybody love her. Everybody she's ever known that had any kind of authority or power or money has abused her. She was literally bought when she was 15 years old, and she's around 19 or 20 now, and she and her babies just live on the ground out there. I know where these guys are, and I want to throw this out there to you and tell you this.
Wow.
I want to go rescue them today.
Wow.
I want to get them today. This day, I want to rescue them. I want to call Pastor David and say, okay, I got the money. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So, well, here's what it's going to take. For me to get her and for me to move her to a solid location, we're going to have to get her away. In other words, we're going to steal her, and we're going to have to move her away from the knucklehead that owns her. And don't worry, we know how to handle those kinds of guys. Don't worry. We got that part handled. But we will have to move her. We will have to move her beautiful babies, and we're going to have to do that. Then we're going to have to put her into temporary housing, and she's going to need clothes. That's the only set of clothes she's got. That's it. She doesn't have anything else. That one baby there has no clothes whatsoever, and the other baby's just got the other. So We gotta set them up. They're gonna need to go to the doctor. They're gonna need to stay at a place for about a month to 2 months, and they're gonna need everything that you would need. What's that whole thing gonna cost? It's gonna cost about $5,000. That's about what it's gonna cost. I'd like to send him $5,000 today and say, just do it and move her. Now, here's the other part of that. In the midst of her sitting in a new place, we have to build this house, and we have to set her up for the rest of her life. And that's going to cost $25,000. Then we have to furnish the place. That's going to cost $6,000. So what is the entire bill to rescue this life, to get these girls, to get her, to get this young girl and her babies in school, to get them the medical attention that they need and set them up for the rest of their life, the entire rest of their life? She will have a new chapter, a new life for the rest of her life. It's about $35,000.
That's incredible when you think of like how much it costs to give someone a future in America. That number is very different. And it's so much. You can do so much with, I mean, yes, that is not a small number, but man, just think that's literally giving her a hope and a future. It is setting her and her children up. It's for generations to have a home and a storefront. And we're not just going and giving them food, giving them water. We're setting them up for future.
We're setting them up for life, for the entire life. They live an entirely different life. I want to show you guys a house once again. Man, guys, I want to give her this house.
I know. I do, too.
Come on. I want to give her this house. Now, I don't know how many of these houses we've given or how many we built. But, guys, Leanna and I and Daryl, we go into villages, and it's just house after house after house after. I mean, we stand on top of hills, and we look, and every single house we see have been one of these houses that we built. Guys, this is what we do.
Yep.
That's amazing. It's just so crazy to see that now you guys have been doing this so long where you have villages.
You know, we're still amazed too. You know, when we look, and you know, like you said, when we look at the pictures or we stand there, still overwhelmed, still can't believe how far we've come in such a short period of time. And it's hard to wrap our brain around. It's humbling. And just even that house you just showed us right now, I mean, I'm in tears just looking at that. I know the house. I know the people that were in there. I know the first time I've seen that. Mm-hmm. I know the concept and still can't believe we get to be a part of this. I mean,
it's crazy.
Well, guys, hey, listen, help me. Help me, like, Pastor Roy, we don't understand why you not already rescued her. We have 1,000 of those that are waiting for people to help us. This is what we get every single day of the week on this phone. This is what I get. And when I say the reason why we're taking care of 4,000 kids and not 40,000 kids is partnership, that is the truth. Do you know that recently there was some punk that murdered somebody here in Texas, and he put together a GoFundMe, and they raised over $500,000 for the murderer. For the murderer. And here we are, people of God, having to point blank, just hope and pray and fast and beg for $35,000 to change a girl's life that nobody in the world cares about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
What's real is we as the body of Jesus, this has to be our cause. This has to be our life.
Yeah.
And this is our life. And friends, we're inviting you into it. Call the number on the screen. Call 877-413-0888. Or you can go to troybrewer.com and give. And let's raise this money and let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. And let's make this thing happen today on this day.
Amen.
When I came driving in from Redemption Ranch, you guys could tell I was a little bit stressed out.
Yeah, I could tell you came in with like a weight today.
This is my weight today. This is my weight. And I get this every day, multiple of these.
Yeah.
But to be very honest, I hate to say this. I was aware of this when I was in Uganda, but there's all these other projects. And to tell you the truth, I just forgot. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad about it.
Yeah.
And, well, in fact, we've actually put other things on the front burner before this simply because they've come up and I just forgot.
Yeah.
And I've just been so busy. And I went, how can I forget about this? Oh my gosh. And so I had to repent. And I said, you know what? I'm going to raise the money. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make this thing happen and we're going to get this thing done.
And just so that people out there understand how this works, we have actual teams that are Ugandans that live there that work for us. Oh. They're part of our team. They work for us. Oh. And so we have all of these projects that are going on and they have to go and they have to assess them, but they also have to manage all the ones that we have going on.
Yep.
So we have commitments that we are committed to today and have been for years and years that we can't overlook. So what happens is we get all of these new ones, but we have all these ones that we have to take care of. And so anytime we bring a new one in, we have to bring funding in for that. Mm-hmm. And so it's an additional funding on top of what we're already having to raise money for. So it's constant. So if you think, man, you guys are always asking for money, we are, because we have thousands of kids we have to feed every day. And then we have additional kids we have to feed and rescue. So it's a constant thing, but we have teams there that we have a team that just works on water wells. We have a team that just goes and assesses these projects. You know, we have teams that work in the village over the, you know, we got a call yesterday about our food. It's flooding there. And so they're like, we have to hire a bunch of laborers and transport and all this.
You got to get the food out of the field or else it's going to ruin. And I don't know another church in the world that this is the kind of burdens that they have to deal with. But it's like, okay, now we got to figure out how to get in tons of people and get all that harvest out of the field because the floods are going to ruin it. Mm-hmm. And then people could starve. And this is our life. This is what you and I have been living for 30 years.
And that's just one country. You can see we're in a lot of countries. Yeah. And so it is every day that we're trying to work with that. And there's always needs. And we have actual partners that we've been partnering with for many, many years. And they take priority over all of the new things because they bring us things that we have to take care of. You know, we have a church that we're building in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam. And you know, it, everything winds up costing 10 times more than what it's supposed to or what you originally thought. And so it's every day there's something going on and we're having to say, okay, how do we budget this into that too? So just know that whenever you donate, you are donating to so many things that you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. But the most important is you're donating to kids being fed, protected, served, rescued. Everything that you hear that we do, it's actually that plus a way more that we can't even get into on a daily basis.
Yeah, I feel like there is just like a sense of urgency today. Mm-hmm. And I felt that it's been that way for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And Pastor, you've spoken about that. And, you know, we shared a story yesterday and we've been sharing it the past week of these two rescues. Ugh. They were in a boat in the Amazon. Man. And we happened to have one of our missionaries on a boat who happened to notice them and realized they were heading to rebel territory. These two sisters, 10 years old and 13. They said they didn't even know where they were going. They just had a man's name on a piece of paper.
And they're little bitty girls. They're just little girls. And
they thought they were going to do housework. Mm-hmm. And she acted. Our missionary acted and got them to safety. And thank God that she did. Yeah. And, you know, Pastor, I believe that the Lord brought this girl in Africa back to your attention for such a time as this, because I believe there is a sense of urgency there. And I just pray that those of you who are watching and feeling that tug in your spirit know that that's a sense of urgency. Like, we are here saying yes to the call of God, to being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I mean, if you've been with us for a little bit amount of time or a long amount of time, you have seen they say yes, and then they trust God to bring in the funds. And you are a huge part of that. So please, if you feel that tug in your spirit, call that number, 877-413-0888, or go to troybrewer.com and click give and partner with us. Guys, we want to be able to say yes to this girl today. We want to be able to change her life and her legacy forever. And she is today. And there may be another one today. And there's probably going to be more tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And man, we hate the fact that we need funds to do this, but we need it. We do. And this is how we do the work of God all around the world. And I assure you that is the work that has been on all of your hearts. And we've seen it in action. We've seen the fruit now. And man, it's cool it's exciting to be here.
I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people don't know this about, you know, Pastor Darrell, but Pastor Darrell gave up a multi-million dollar bunch of businesses and walked away from all of it and came to work for us for nothing. I mean, literally for nothing. He did not get a paycheck for a long, long time. Because we told him, dude, I can't give you a paycheck. I got no money to give you a paycheck. And him and his wife said, nope, I got to do this thing and we'll just figure it out. And, you know, Leanna and I mortgaged our little house seven different times over about a 17-year period. So much so that we bought it, this little 1,000-square-foot house, and we bought it for $50,000. And then 25 years later, in 2016, we owed $170,000 on it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's some bad math.
Yeah.
And that is so, not
I mean,
good math.
We gave, we didn't just give what all we had. We gave everything we didn't have. And then we saw God Almighty's great faithfulness in the sales of our books beginning in 2016 and all of those incredible things. And I mean, all the money of the sales of our books, I mean, it all goes into Troy Brewer Ministries as well. And all this debt we owed, boom, man, we were just able to pay it off. And then we started building stuff all over the place and all of our rescue centers.
Yeah.
And we got very strategic. And then, boy, if we thought we were in trouble before, now, like, oh my goodness. So it's like, well, when do you say no? We don't ever say no. This is the power of yes.
Right.
Well, why would we say no?
Right. Why? Why would we say no?
Because God's not powerful enough, because we're not smart enough. Well, okay. Well, we've never been smart enough. When have we ever had any of this figured out? And all these people invite me on their show because they think I'm an expert at stuff. And I'm like, a heel?
Hey, Pastor. Pastor Gary McGibbon in at Victory said that Victory Church Belfast is going to take up a special collection this week.
Gosh,
so that's awesome.
Man, Victory Belfast, Ireland. I'm telling you, Pastor Gary, thank you so much, my friend. And I want to just tell everybody, there's no crisis. This is how we live.
Yep.
But this is a crisis to this girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I live with these names and these faces. Daryl lives with these names and these faces. Mm-hmm. Leanna lives with these names and these faces. And it's a terrible privilege is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to say, Pastor Gary McGibbon, my good friend who hosted me here a few months ago in the Emerald Isle. I bless you, my friend, and thank you so much. Yeah, God Almighty is doing something strong. He really is. Praise God.
Yes, he is.
All right. Well, I got a bunch. We have a bunch of questions here today for people to ask us concerning missions and what all we do and how we do it. And gosh almighty, I guess we got some good ones here. And I want to throw some things out there. Is it okay if we just start going through
questions?
Yeah, let's
do it. And let's just encourage, I just want to encourage you guys, as we're answering these questions, if you have questions specifically about what we're talking about, missions in general, about getting involved, about being the hands and feet of Jesus on earth, there is not a better group that you could be asking those questions to. So put the questions wherever you're watching from. Start it with three question marks so that we're able to see it. And I'm going to be watching our feed as well, and we will get to as many as we can. Pastor, go ahead.
And I also want to remind everybody, too, guys, we want to rescue this woman and her kids today. I want to show you her picture. Yep, her. And we want to put them in this house, okay? And it will cost us between $35,000 and $40,000 to complete the entire thing. So let's raise the money. I mean, why not?
Why not?
Why not? Let's just raise some money and let's just give it away.
Do it.
Let's raise the money and let's give it away to this girl that does not know us. And bless her life.
Amen.
And her babies.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's fun to be such a part of it. I could already feel, and I know that we're going to get all that money today. That it's all, I don't know how many individuals it's going to be, but that it's done. Just us, this is part of our job, as you said, just bring the information, being a part of it, and I could already see it. We're going to get her today. We're going to be able to call Pastor David and get her rescued and in a safe place. And then he's also the same one that's going to start the construction and get that done. And it's not going to be that long that people are going to be watching another pulse and you're going to be saying, and you're going to show that. And that's why it's always yes for us, because it's easy. It's kind of like what Shay was saying. It's just, we say yes. And then just because God's going to show up financially and because he's not asking us to come up with that money. Cause we tried, you mortgaged your house seven times. I did all those other things.
You and did
so in the beginning
things.
On our own strength, we did a lot, but not near what we do then. Cause now he's like, I don't need you guys to do that. Just open your mouth, tell people, allow them to be a part. We get to be the fortunate ones to be the boots on the ground and to do these things. And then there's people that are watching right now that are being like, I want to be a part. I mean, literally, even if it's $500, but if that's 10 people, obviously, that's the 5,000 right there.
Yep. And that gets them off the ground. Off the ground and into a safe place.
Yeah, so it's exciting to be a part of this, but to see it, to see what right now, this afternoon, all of that money is going to come in. We're going to be able to send that to Pastor David. And like you said, we see that lady, we know that lady, and that's just one. And then the next pulse, we'll be moving on to even more.
Yep.
Pastor Colleen, who's watching, wants to know, will the guy who owns her now try to get her back? How will we protect her from him?
Can I just be very blunt? If he needs to have a good old-fashioned butt kicking, that's exactly what he'll get. And I'm sorry, I know I'm Pastor Troy and everybody, man of God. No, let me tell you, Jesus ain't nice. This is what I'm always talking about. Jesus is not nice. I instantly get furious when I think about that guy. Instantly. And we won't have any trouble out of him. We won't have no trouble. We know how to handle him.
And
he's never had anybody come pulling up to his house and get in his grill and tell him, it's not okay for you to own human beings and to traffic girls and children in our area. We live here now. He's never had anybody do that. And he needs somebody to come do that. And I know exactly who can do that.
And when we get these, girls, these families, these women, we tend to move them to a different area where they're not in that same place, not only for their protection, but also for the stigma that they've had.
Yeah.
We don't want them being looked upon the same way. We want them to have a new fresh start. So they start off with new clothes is the first thing. We give them a place to take a bath. They've probably never had a bath or a shower in their life. They get new clothes. They get a new identity. They're no longer who they were. They've been redeemed, which is why it's called Redemption Ranch. And so they've been redeemed in a new place. But we also have security teams now that keep this from happening. We have come in, and we always tell people we don't Americanize anywhere, but we do kingdomize it. And the kingdom has walls. You have to go through the pearly gates to get there, just saying. So there are walls around our areas, and we do protect our people, and we will protect them. And once you do that, once you stand up to a bully, which is all that this is, they back down because they don't want to fight against somebody. They're looking for an easier target. So
this great man of power that has treated her so bad, who has nothing, who doesn't have a brain in his head, Right. I can just go on and on and on, just, you know, and he has all this power and authority. He just needs another real man to show up to him and explain to him how the world turns. And that's all he needs. What you know, and so, we know how to do all that. So that's a great question.
So yeah, it's such a good question because we're smart about it. Again, we realize the risks. We can't take them.
Sure. He's not a sophisticated cartel trafficker.
Mm-hmm. It is different in other countries.
It's different.
Where we're in the village, it is, we have it under control.
Yeah.
Pastor Leanna, Tina Garcia said, please tell Leanna, thank you from me at the women's conference. She said, start with what you have. We did, and now we do homeless outreach here in KC.
Come on.
We are now Yes and Amen, South Kansas City.
Yay. That's awesome. So proud of you. That's awesome.
That is
awesome.
So
cool.
That is outstanding. Well, let's go through another question here. So, you get to pick out the questions. So you are the question. I apologize.
Let me gather the questions.
No. I'm sorry.
Well, this was something that you guys were just talking about earlier that I made a note of because I found it interesting because I'm still learning about how things work in Africa. I feel like I know a lot. I'm more educated on stuff with the cartels and Mexico and all the things that we do in Latin America. But in Africa, it's totally different and the systems there are different. So you were talking about a dowry system and how that is kind of being used and woven into the culture of these girls and how they're slaves.
Yeah. So there's two different ways that we see. One, it's in India and also in Africa. Africa is the dowry system. The other one is a debt system. So in India.
Okay.
So let's kind of go through this because the dowry is an interesting one because it's legit. Any legitimate family, is like, hey, I'm raising this little girl. And I mean, it's legit. It's part of the culture. And like, here's the deal. When some suitor comes over here and says, okay, I see she's 16 years old now, and she's a proper marrying age, which I want to just ask you, Daryl, do you agree with that?
With the dowry part?
No, with the 16-year-old, is it okay for, you know?
No,
everything we can do to stop
that. Right, right.
And I mean, we tell the girls all the way even past college, boys are stupid. Just stay away from them. Like, you don't need them. Like, stay away from these knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. And so we did everything that we can do to even change that. But let's just say they got some teenage girl, some
older
30
man, right? Yeah.
Or 40 or 50 year old man, a guy my age, I could literally go anywhere through Africa, find out about the village and say, I have a nice dowry. I would like to marry a young teenage girl. And everybody would start bringing their girls.
Yep.
And you pay the dowry. And I'm like, yeah, well, you get married and there you go. And it's, so the dowry, I want to say the dowry is legit. It's a legitimate, even though that doesn't work over here for us, you know, and all that. But I mean, remember Pastor, who was it? He said he had to pay a chicken and two cows for his wife.
They asked Troy how much that cost, and he said one chicken.
Yes,
he got in a lot of trouble.
Well, let me how much was Leanna's dowry? And I was like, chicken. But it was a good looking rooster. Yeah. And Leanna's like, why are you telling? And they're all like, they all believe me, you know?
Yeah, they all believe everything he says.
Oh my gosh.
But that is a legitimate cultural thing. Okay, like, okay, I have to offer something to this family if I am to expect to have their daughter fall in love with me and run off with me to be married. And many times it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that they do, you know? There'll be a young man and a young woman, and they'll be like, oh my God, we got to get married. She's like, well, what do you got for a dowry, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
And he's like,
in some ways, when you think of it like that.
You know, and then he works hard, and, you know, in many ways it's a beautiful cultural thing. But when people are desperate and when there's people that have money and they want to prey on people's desperation, it's horrible. They come in and they're literally easily buying kids and young women just to abuse.
And they can, in that culture, it's normal to have more than one wife to where they could say, oh, okay, I have a dowry here. Let me get that 16-year-old. Let me get that 15-year-old, whatever.
Right. And then in that, you get more workers, you get someone that can help you. I mean, legitimate work. I'm not saying they're
I'm working with a group of young women in their 30s, 20s and 30s. And we're trying to change that and say girls are not for sale, because for them, it feels like they're for sale.
Wow.
You're buying me. So whenever that young man buys you or that old man buys you, you're being bought.
They own you.
They own you. So these women, these girls have no rights. They're owned. And so there's a generation of girls that are there now. They're going, we don't want to be owned. We want to get married because we love somebody. Mm. So they're going against the tradition and the culture, and they're starting a new thing going, no, this doesn't work for us anymore. It worked for our fathers before us, but even then it didn't really work. It sounds nice, but it didn't work. And so...
So I want to say this. We don't want to Americanize anybody, but as my beautiful bride just said, we want to kingdomize people.
Yeah.
And like, there are some hideous cultural demonic things that families do because it's their culture to do so. A good example of that is in the Mayan culture, which we work very heavily with. A little girl is told from the time she is little bitty, bitty, bitty. If you're Mayan, a little girl is told, you know, when you grow up, your body is going to change and we're all going to know, and you're going to know, and this is how we'll know. And then they explain the first period to the little girl. And when that happens, we're going to be so proud and it's going to be so awesome. And then we're going to invite all the men over and they are going to buy you.
No.
And the families sell the 12-year-old kids. And
this
they do
just
that.
Part of the culture.
Am I making this up, guys?
Part of the culture.
No, not at all. And you know, it really all comes to the value of women, the value of women all over the world. So if it be in Africa, if it be in the Amazon, if it be in Belize, where you're talking about, you know, they're just not valued. And so many families just sell their daughters, sell their wives, you know, because again, women just aren't valued. And that's what the whole reason that we're in the trafficking business and everything else. And so the Mayan culture you're talking about, as you already know, many other cultures do the same thing. We have the same thing in the Amazon where people, you know, you can buy their children and or rent them, you know, the way they look at it.
Yeah,
and everybody just looks the other way like it's no big deal.
So it's a big deal to buy that child for the first week or the first month.
Right.
And so everybody's bidding in front of the child. And she's sitting there real pretty and she's all happy because she don't know, you know, and she's like, hey, I'm going to contribute to my family. And the creepy uncle comes over, the guy down the street comes down. This guy comes over, that guy comes over, that guy comes over, and they all come, well, I got so much money. And they're like, hey, I'll tell you what, you can have her from Friday until Sunday, but I would like her from Monday until Thursday.
That's
and then another guy will say, and they work it out with the family.
How long does that go? Like, how long do they do that for?
As long as she's able to make money.
Yeah.
Oh my. So every girl is prostituted.
Every girl.
And it's by the families.
Is prostituted.
And it's like considered an honor. That is so evil.
We see that in India as well. Right. You know, they celebrate her first menstrual cycle and then she's of age is what they decide. Like, okay, well that doesn't work. And so we're not Americanizing people. We're kingdomizing them.
Yeah.
This is the kingdom of God. Jesus has redeemed us from that.
So there's two things that has to happen. Number one, there has to be good, godly people that do not want to take advantage of these women and these young girls who stand up and say, this is the fight for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
The other thing is there has to be good, godly people who will literally reject the woke idea that those cultures are good and that they don't need the body of Jesus. They do not need the gospel of Jesus. They desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, you got to be brave, man, and you got to be involved. And, you know, this right here really causes tremendous issues for us to rescue kids like in Belize or in southern Mexico or all throughout Central America, because the only way we can rescue a child is to get her to turn against her own family.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's horrible for them.
Yeah.
If we tell her, hey, listen, your uncle does not own you. And it's not right that your family sold you, right? Mm-hmm. It's not right. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, that happened to my parents, happened to my grandparents. Like, no, this is how we do things here. Meanwhile, she either becomes so sexualized that she is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, and that happens. I mean, you
see
it all over. I mean,
there'll
be a 14-year-old kid, and they're just nuts. They're just crazy. Or they become hypersexual because that's the only value that they have. Yeah. And then their lives are wrecked and destroyed. They're diseased. They have tons of kids. And then they kill themselves by the time they're 22, 23.
And so one of the ways we combat that is we're in all of the school systems.
Yep.
Oh, and so we're going after the little kids, and we're teaching them it's not okay for people to touch you.
Wow.
You need to reach out, and we're finding safe places for these kids, and we're finding educators, and we're finding churches and ministries in these countries that will stand with us, and we're partnering with them saying, it is your responsibility to do this with your kids.
Wow.
Well, guys, today you're joining me and my beautiful bride and my not so good looking brother-in-law and beautiful Shay.
Thank you.
And you are joining me here today for episode 36. And we're talking about missions. We're talking about rescues. And we're talking about just the reality of what it is that needs to be done and how important it is that we continue to go after it. And then also in the meanwhile, we are rescuing this girl today. I want to show you her picture. This is a mama.
Yeah.
She's been a slave since she's 15 years old. We have recently discovered her, and I want to go get her today. I want to go get her today, and I want to rescue her. Yes, ma'am?
Pastor Tia just texted us. Mark Newman, thank you for donating. We got a donation from Mark Newman from Texas, Elizabeth Threet from Texas, and CeCe Cooper from Texas.
Yay.
So way to go, Texas.
Yay.
Way to go, Texas.
That is awesome.
Way to
thank
go.
You.
Friends, for us to rescue her today and get her into another place for the next couple of months and her babies where she is safe, where she's protected, where we have moved her to, it costs about $5,000. That's about what it costs. And my, I want to just say, I don't know that she's ever had a bath in her entire life. Can you imagine putting her in a nice place that has a nice bathtub and running hot water for her and for her beautiful babies and go, okay, so that is only temporary. But then, guys, we want to move her into this house. This is the house. So boom, this house, this is the model of homes that we build for all of our rescued women all over Uganda. And friends, we have them everywhere. How much does it cost? And by the way, what does it have in it? It's got two bedrooms. It has a bathroom. It has, and when I say bathroom, you need to know, like, so.
No, that's a big deal.
Right, just having indoor plumbing, having an indoor bathroom is, you know, huge.
Many times the villages we build this in, that's the only house in the whole village.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this goes, so that girl goes from being the most outcast to having the palace.
Yes. Right.
And it changes
everything.
From the
everything.
Pit to the palace. Yeah, she's shepherd.
From the pit to the palace. And so it has a full-blown bathroom that has a super nice shower in it. It's got a, of course, it's got a toilet. It has running water. It's got a sink. And then it's got a nice kitchen. And then what you see over to the right, you open up those doors, and that is either a big giant living room, if that's what you want it to be, or it is a business. You can cut hair out, you can cut hair in that room, you can put a store in that room, you could sell clothes in that room, and then we actually set them up for that as well. The cost to build that house is $25,000. And guys, we built so many of these, we don't even know how to count them. I mean, there's villages we go to, every house we see are full of these houses. And then not only, and then it costs about another $6,000 for the furniture to be able to furnish it. Costs about $6,000. And then there was something else too. I forgot what it was. Oh, to set them up for their business is another $5,000, something like that. The whole entire price, $5,000, $25,000, $6,000, $5,000. Jump in anywhere you want to, and let's rescue this girl today. Call the number on the screen, 817-413-0888, or you can go to troybrewer.com. Jump on it.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, we have some more questions. I have some questions that I've been wanting to ask you guys too, and we're going to take some more viewer questions. If you're up for it, you want to go behind the veil, Pastor?
Yeah, let's go behind the veil.
Okay, before we do that, should I do some announcements really quick?
Yeah.
Just because we've got some really cool things coming up at Open Door Church that I know you want to talk about, Pastor.
Big deal.
So this Sunday, guys, is Mother's Day. We have a very special Mother's Day service happening, and I personally cannot wait. This is the perfect opportunity to bring your mother.
Mamma mia.
Yeah, mamma mia. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to have special gifts for the mothers. And we're also going to do family dedication, which is a really cool thing that you guys do on Mother's Day.
Every single mama is going to get a gift, and we always do that. And guys, we like to listen. I mean, I'm married, and I'm a little bit scared of this lady. You got to you have to do that. But then also, we will be doing family dedication, baby dedication, child dedication, and family dedication at the end of praise and worship in both the 9 o'clock service and then also the 11:30 service.
I think that's really cool because you've heard of, I mean, I've heard of people doing baby dedications, but what happens to those families where the parents just you know, decide later in life, hey, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. We got a question. We had a question earlier in the week of someone saying, you know, how do I, my family is in turmoil. How do I bring them back together? Family dedication, take your family, make that stand, that public stand for your family as the head of your household. Hey, we're drawing a line in the sand. I'm dedicating my family to the Lord. That is powerful.
It is powerful.
That is so cool. So man, you do not want to miss it. Be here on Sunday.
Okay. So let's can we also talk about what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight at Open Door Church, I'm going to be preaching and I'm talking about, the title of my message is called Blood Money.
Whoa.
What is blood money and what is the principle of blood money? And the principle of blood money is it'll tell on you because blood is attached to it and blood speaks. So that's also going to get us into the interesting biblical perspective of what does God see and what does God not see? And you're like, well, he obviously sees and hears everything. Yeah, but not legally, not legally. And the Lord God Almighty has set up jurisdictional providences of what he can see legally and what he can't. And thank God he has, because if you're covered with the blood of Jesus, he doesn't even see your sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's stupid. It's that he doesn't legally see it. As we're going to go through all those principles tonight. Wow. It's going to open up the scriptures to you. It's going to be so much fun. Come out and join me tonight at 7 p.m. here at Open Door Church. What else do we have going on?
Listen, I just want to do one last call to action for you guys. Join us. I mean, if you're watching us on YouTube and you're not on ODX, the broadcast is going to end here, unfortunately, for you. And you're going to miss out on the rest of the content, and it's going to be so good. We are just getting started, and we're going to dive deep into some of the spiritual side of all of the missions work that you guys do. And I'm really interested to hear just some of those stories and the warfare and what you guys have seen and come up against. And we're going to go deeper and you don't want to miss that. So please join us as a stage two or stage three partner at odx.tv. When you do that, it's a small monthly amount and you get access to all of our content, conferences, everything that we have on ODX. We've got like interviews of Pastor Troy. We've got messages. We've got our women's conferences. We've got so much on there. But not only that, guys, your money is going to help rescue more kids, just like the mama that we've been talking about today. So the content, that's just like an added bonus that you get for partnering with us on ODX. So please take this opportunity, join ODX if you haven't already. I mean, if you're enjoying your time here, you're going to enjoy ODX. Just trust me on that one. So that's it, Pastor.
Okay, man.
I'm ready to head behind the veil.
Okay. And by the way, guys, I want to also say this too. I hope to see you out at the Open Door Food Bank this coming Saturday.
Yes.
Guys, we're going to be feeding thousands and thousands of people like we do every other Saturday, as we have for 35 years. Come out and join us at the Open Door Food Bank. If you want to go on a missions trip without even leaving home, just come out to the food bank, man. It's going to be amazing. Meet us at 8 a.m. Help us feed thousands of people. You'll be out of there between 11 and 12 o'clock. And you'll walk away there going, man, this didn't come from Texas. This comes from King Jesus. Don't forget, call the number. Help me rescue this lady. And then I'll be giving you all the updates and what's happening. I'll take you through her entire journey. And we'll just ride beside her as she gets through
Let's
her entire journey.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's okay. Awesome.
All right. So you're going to join me behind the veil.
Yep.
You're going to join me behind the veil.
Maybe.
All right. we'll all move there. If you're watching on ODX.TV, stay right there. And
take a look at this.
I call y'all the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Y'all watch this.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.